You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Maniatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock, Dumelang. Welcome to the Clement Maniatella Show. It's a Thursday. It's five to the weekend, right? I hope you're good this morning and ready for what we've planned for you over the next 3 hours. We start the show with the 702 open line. It starts now until 10 o'clock. Your time to raise any issue on your mind this morning. I see people are already calling in on 011-883-0702. That's the number you can also call if you want to raise your issues on the open line this morning. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. The SMS line is 31702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
So many things to discuss, right? You call me and tell me what's on your mind on 011-883-0702. Gwede Mantashe yesterday was at the State Capture Inquiry talking about CADA deployment versus deployment committee and justifying the deployment of cadres in government. Maybe you want to weigh in on that. Bonginkosi Madikizela, who is the DA leader in the Western Cape, he is being investigated for faking his qualifications. He's admitted that, I don't know if it was an error or he left out certain things on his CV, making a suggestion that he completed his BCom degree when actually he didn't. He's made that admission, but he believes there are politics at play. And then Zuma, yesterday, sending this 21-page letter to the Constitutional Court, right? He's essentially dared the court to send him to jail. He has refused to provide an affidavit as directed by the court. Oh, I went through this long, long, long letter yesterday, and I've underlined some of the things if you haven't gone through the letter. And by the way, if you've just read a story, I would advise you to check out this 21-page letter. It makes for an interesting reading, I tell you. I've underlined a couple of things, and I'll go through them, which I thought were quite significant as I was going through it. And then you can give us your thoughts. You can give me your thoughts on the position that the former president has taken. A lot of people are not really surprised that he's responded in this way. So one of the things he says in the letter is, and I quote, "I wish to advise you that I will not depose to an affidavit as presently directed. Second, I wish to advise that my stance in this regard is not out of any disrespect for you or the court, but it stems from my conscience and my conscientious objection to the manner in which I have been treated. I did not ask for this right to hearing, and since it is an invention of the Chief Justice, I would have expected the Chief Justice to have been concerned about the motive of seeking my participation. As currently framed, the directions, to the extent they support to give me a right to a hearing on the question of sanction, it is a sham and an attempt to sanitize the gravity of the repressive manner in which the court has dealt with my issues. It is disappointing and fortifies my concerns when our apex court engages in what clearly is a political or public management of a decision they have already taken. In my view, these political gimmicks do not belong in the bench. It is apparent that the Constitutional Court is attempting to correct its rather incorrect decision in hearing a matter relating to a summons or the non-compliance thereto when the Commissions Act contains an internal provision as to how a commission should deal with such an eventuality. My decision not to participate in the contempt of court proceedings was based on my belief that my participation would not change the atmosphere of judicial hostility and humiliation reflected in its judgment against me. It is therefore my view or my feeling that the judges of the Constitutional Court do not intend to ensure that they address disputes involving me in a matter that accords with the independence, impartiality, dignity, accessibility, and effectiveness of the court. After agonizing over how to respond to your direction, Chief Justice, I came to the conclusion that the directions are an attempt to get me to make submissions that would assist those judging me on the question of sanction. What the Zondo Commission has done is inexcusable, and I will live to see my vindication when, after squandering billions of much-needed public revenue an independent court reviews and set aside the findings of the commission on the basis that it is not established in accordance with our constitution. Hold on. Kanti, who established the Zondo Commission? The former president says it wasn't established in accordance with our constitution. Then he says, I lawfully established the commission. Wait, the last paragraph, the last line says, you know, and set aside the findings of the commission on the basis that it was not established in accordance with our constitution. And then after that, he says, right, a lawfully established commission would be an asset in making recommendations to the executive that could be accepted and considered. Just so you do not believe that I have avoided answering your direction, here is my answer. There is no precedent for what the Constitutional Court has allowed to take place in its sacred forum. As stated above, I'm ready to become a prisoner of the Constitutional Court. And since I cannot appeal or review that, I see as a gross irregularity, my imprisonment would become the soil on which future struggles for a judiciary that sees itself as a servant of the Constitution and the people, rather than an instrument for advancing dominant political narratives. And then towards the end of that letter, the former president says, when I'm imprisoned, as it is clearly the court's intention, it is my body that you imprison. And my political foes, who are now friends of the court, will flood the streets with celebration. For in my imprisonment, they would be achieved using the legitimacy of institutions that we fought for. And then the last line I want to read you is this. This is actually paragraph 65. It says, I shall await the decision of your esteemed court, and I am preparing myself for its obvious, although unjustified, severity. So this is what the former president has written to the Constitutional Court after he was asked to send an affidavit explaining what kind of sanction he deserves if he is found guilty of contempt of court. Any thoughts on that? 011-883-0702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
What I also want your thoughts on is the statement that the Minister Pravin Gordhan sent yesterday around his interaction with the Chief Justice. Remember the Chief Justice, when Judge Dyer Play was appearing and the EFF President Julius Malema was asking her about the interactions and her relationship with Minister Pravin Gordhan. They are friends, they know each other from, you know, the underground, you know, they were activists during apartheid. And the Chief Justice revealed that there was a time when the Minister Pravin Gordhan requested a meeting with him, and they were going to talk about something else. And this was possibly even about the statement by the Minister Pravin Gordhan explains that the meeting that they had was about the tax ombudsman. But towards the end of that meeting, Pravin Gordhan then asked the Chief Justice, Hore, hey, how did my friend Daya Pillay do in the last interviews of the Constitutional Court, for justices at the Constitutional Court? At the time, it was public knowledge that, you know, Daya Pillay had not made it. But the question that is being asked is, was it an error of judgment on the part of Pravin Gordhan? Was it unwise for him, even in passing, to ask this head of the judiciary about a judicial nominee? Is it a normal thing to phone a company boss to check how your friend or cousin, etc., did in a job or promotion interview? Or do you think the Chief Justice is playing politics here? That maybe he should have raised this matter when it happened 5 years ago, if it really concerned him, like he did say it concerned him. I'm interested to hear what you think of this development. The Minister of Pravin Gordhan says there was nothing intended. Yesterday, the EFF opened a case of corruption against Minister Pravin Gordhan, accusing him of trying to influence the judiciary. And the minister says, that was not my intention. It was just a comment in passing. But you're a member of the executive. You're asking the head of the judiciary how your friend did. Is that unethical? I want to hear what your thoughts are. 011-883-0702. Let's play some of your voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Hi, Clement. Knowing you guys there at 702, you saying you're going to play some of their songs, the DJs. We know that they're going to be short. They're going to be cut just as we about to reach a point of about to losing our minds and dancing, you're gonna cut it. It's gonna play for 2 seconds. We know you 702. It's all about the news. It's all about the sad news all day, every day.
Yeah, but we're not having a party here. Come on, eh? This is not a party. It's a discussion. So, and you know about mapianos, like the first three minutes of an amapiano song is like just instruments, and then the actual song starts after 3 minutes. Imagine if I play that. Eh? It's like we're having a party. No, we're not. We're having a discussion.
Good morning, Martin Clement. We all know that Mr. Zuma struggled with reading and stuff. So I guess the Guptas helped him to write this letter also. That's not Zuma.
Yeah, and you can tell that man that letter. I mean, and by the way, I'm not trying to suggest that the former president is not capable of expressing himself in that manner. But I mean, the way that is crafted, I think the lawyers that are involved helping him craft that letter and helping him make the argument that he made. But yeah, what does it mean? You know, sometimes I pause and think, this is so unprecedented. Like, it is so unprecedented. Like, what does the Constitutional Court do? Does it give him a suspended sentence? If it sends him to jail, this will be a first for our country. You know, what divisions are going to come as a result of this? What tensions are going to come? Someone sent a voice note a couple of weeks ago as we were discussing this back and forth between Zuma and the court and said, Clement, I don't wish that there will be civil war like it's been suggested by those who support the former president. Because I know I grew up in KwaZulu-Natal and I saw the tensions and I don't want that to happen because families are going to suffer. And I don't know if that is over-exaggerated or if it's a legitimate concern that we should have. Yeah, give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts on 011-883-0702. Let's go to Dobsonville. Smoo, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Coming my brother, maybe in passing, before you talk about Pravin, for me, it's the first, as you said, it's unprecedented. I have never heard Constitutional Court dealing with criminal matters, like your contempt of court. To me, what you just wanted, it was an abuse of power. Because they literally instructed these juniors, because he's a deputy judge president, to take the matter that outside the jurisdiction of the Constitutional Court. And I don't know, going forward in future, but are they going to do this to other people? Because for me, it's unprecedented. These matters belongs to the High Court or Magistrate Court for contempt of court. But for the Constitutional Court to deal and sentence a person is a first.
Well, it's also a first for someone to defy the Constitutional Court like Jacob Zuma has.
Because he sees nothing else, because his constitutional right has been violated, so he's got no option. I mean,
how were they violated, Smoo?
Yeah?
How were the constitutional rights violated?
Because what personal, you know, this personal ego about Justice Zone, for him to continue, he took this commission as his personal freedom.
Okay.
It doesn't belong to him.
All right. So
it was easy for him to recuse himself.
Yeah.
Now, because he took this matter personally, he should have recused himself. It's okay, let me recuse himself for the sake of progress, because my money is being spent on that commission. And the day before yesterday, or yesterday, I don't know, Ukwara Banta, she said, Thabo Mbeki is the one who came up with this Guptas. Are they going to call him?
Smoo, you're raising too many points. And you know how we know you, Smoo. You come here with like 100 points to make. Was that the point you wanted to raise on the open line? Because what I have here is you wanted to... But Smoo, I always tell you this. When you call in, okay, choose one thing.
No, quickly.
What do you want to say about Pravin?
Okay. Pravin Gordhan, you know, is a law unto themselves, this guy. Because you were listening to Floyd yesterday. This was not the first case they opened against him. They said they opened a case against him in Hatfield, something like that. I'm not sure about the name of the place. But this thing, I was just asking in passing, who's asking in city? Because when you start to ask the Chief Justice, even the Chief Justice said, I was puzzled. This guy called a meeting to talk about issues of tax or Botswana, something like that. That the intention was to talk or to gather information regarding Dr. Pillay. This is what is happening about the judiciary on a Clementine country.
Okay. Yeah, I've got many, many other calls I need to take. I think you've made your point. I was very kind to you today. I didn't cut you because I gave you an opportunity to raise your second point. Ordinarily, I would have just stopped you at the first point like I did the last time, right? But you know, next time call in, choose one point because there are so many calls that I need to take. But Smoo is raising the issue of Praveen. Like that tax ombudsman meeting, was it meant to, was it really just about that? Or was Praveen really intending on asking about Dr. Pillay? But what impact would that have? Because the decision had already been taken. Dr. Pillay didn't make it onto the Constitutional Court. But then someone might make an argument that, well, there were going to be other interviews for justices at the Constitutional Court, like we're seeing now. And maybe that is a way that you start planting a seed. Here's what concerned me about what the Chief Justice said. So the Chief Justice said that, and I quote here, he came, I took a break. This is when he was explaining the meeting between him and Praveen Gordhan. He says, I don't really know what the purpose of the meeting was. I don't have a clear recollection. I think there was something about the tax ombudsman. But what stuck in my mind was he asked me a question. How did my friend Dr. Pillay perform? This thing has stayed with me. It got renewed as Malema engaged you. Why did the minister make an effort to meet me? We're not friends. I don't know him from anywhere except from television. Why did he make a trip to seek an audience with me to ask me how did my friend perform? And then I thought, but Chief Justice, you've just said that the meeting may have been about the tax ombudsman. And then towards the end, that's when he asked, how did my friend perform? Because when you look at the second statement that the Chief Justice makes, where he says, I don't know him from anywhere except from television. Why did he make a trip to seek an audience with me to ask me, how did my friend perform? And this is creating an impression that Praveen Gordhan went to that meeting to ask about Dr. Pillay, when the Chief Justice himself says that meeting wasn't about Dr. Pillay. It was about the tax ombudsman. And then it was in passing that he asked, how did my friend do? So that statement, I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's a bit problematic because then it contradicts, you know, what the issue is here. But still, was it unethical of Praveen Gordhan as the member of the executive, having had a professional meeting as a member of the executive and the head of the judiciary, to even ask that question about his friend? 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Let's go to Kempton Park now. Mpo, good morning.
Hi, Clement, how are you?
Kishab, how are you?
Kishab, I'm worried about the timing of the Chief Justice, really. I think you keep such a serious thing for 5 years. And you disclose it now. What's the relevance of it? And over and above that, Clement, we shouldn't forget that the Chief Justice was appointed by JZ, by the way. And if you put this in line with the step-aside thing, I think the aim here is to put Gordhan under the same category of those that should step aside by opening quickly the EFF opening a case to a corruption case against Praveen. So that when Ace objects to step aside and citing examples like Praveen as well, falls within this category, it must cause a serious mayhem. Clement, the aim here is to cause anarchy. And don't forget the Nkandla visit with a bag, the secret bag, with Dalimpofu and all of them. What was the gist of that meeting?
Look,
key party thing.
Mpo, you may be onto something there, but remember, the step-aside resolution doesn't say if a charge has been opened against you, then you must step aside. Otherwise, the president of the ANC would actually step aside because there is a corruption case that has been opened, that has been laid against him. The issue is, are you charged? So, if the NPA, the police investigate, the NPA then thinks actually, here we've got enough evidence to take this man to court, and they charge him officially. That's when the step aside regulation, the step aside resolution would actually kick in. But you may be onto something then, Paul. You may be onto something. But do you then suggest, are you suggesting that the Chief Justice is involved in this political ploy?
No. The Chief Justice, it's not immune, Clement. There's a lot. The guy is just, it's just that we're treating him as a saint for now.
Mm.
The timing is so wrong. You should really, if he is clean as he claims, this should be disclosed immediately after that meeting to say, as Chief Justice, I don't operate in this fashion.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
How do you allow this thing to simmer for 5 years?
And only raise it in that manner, especially
and
if it's concerned you.
It now.
Yeah, I hear you.
Issues with everybody. JSC is with you. Everybody's against you now. Now you want to redeem yourself. Unnecessarily so.
Mpo, thank you for your call. You agree with Mpo that the Chief Justice is trying to redeem himself? I mean, if this issue really concerned him like he says it did he write to the president to say, hey, one of your cabinet ministers had a meeting with me and asked me this question, and I was a bit concerned about the impression that this particular question has? Because one of the things that the Chief Justice said is that, you know, is that this is potentially compromising to judicial independence and impartiality for a minister or a senior politician to be keenly interested in the upward mobility, or to look like he or she is interested in the upward mobility of a particular judge. I mean, if this is really your deeper concern, surely you should have written to the president and say, I'm concerned about the position that your minister took when he asked me this question after our official meeting between the judiciary and the executive. But he's only mentioning it now during the interviews. Is there something untoward there? I think it should have been raised last year as well. It doesn't mean we shouldn't take it seriously now. But I just think maybe Mpo is onto something there about the timing. I don't know if this is politics. I've not made up my mind on that. But I think it's a legitimate concern that the Chief Justice raises. I just think it should have been raised also much earlier. Just to demonstrate the seriousness of it, so that even the president takes it upon himself as the head of the executive and tell his cabinet ministers that, guys, we need to keep an arm's length between the judiciary and the executive to ensure that impartiality on the part of the judiciary and that critical independence. I'll take more of your calls on this and any other issues you want to raise on the open line on 011-83-0702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
25 minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's continue with the open line. Steve, you're in Emerentia. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. I just wanted to raise the issue that, in my view, the Chief Justice is equally guilty as Pravin Gordhan may be, simply by not raising this issue for 5 years. I mean, you can't just sit on something like that. I mean, quite frankly, he's equally guilty, and I agree with one of your previous callers. The timing is very, very suspect. And just one last question for you, Clement. Do you think that the Constitutional Court would ever give you the opportunity to present your arguments in a case like that with the Zuma thing?
What, give me an opportunity? If I was the central to the case?
If you were central to the case, do you think you would have been given the opportunity to
I don't think so. Present? So for two reasons. For one reason, because I'm a law-abiding citizen, Steve, I would have complied and presented my arguments in court if I was central. But the second thing is, I'm just a lowly man, right? I'm just an ordinary man. And I suppose Jacob Zuma is a former president. And even though our constitutional democracy guarantees equality before the law, everyone is equal before the law. The way that Jacob Zuma has been treated, from the police minister visiting him, from, you know, everybody going up in arms to go and have a conversation with him, to beg him to comply with the law, it just shows that we're not really equal before the law. There's special treatment in some way here. But look, let's see how it develops, Steve. Yeah, I don't imagine. Yeah, imagine this. Clement, tell us what sanction you deserve. How should we sentence you if we find you guilty? Of course, it happens in criminal cases where, you know, in the High Court, you'd often have, if after the judgment has been placed, the legal teams have to argue the appropriate sentence, and either they argue in mitigation or aggravation of sentence. But in this case, Jacob Zuma has not been found guilty of contempt just yet, right? Is it because it's a sensitive case? And we spoke about this 2 days ago, about how this is uncharted territory, right? The Constitutional Court is probably trying to be cautious in their approach, but also perception is also key, and there is perception that is created, among others, that there's some special treatment here afforded to the former president. Brian, you're in Alberton. What do you want to say?
Hey, Clement, how are you?
Kishab, how are you?
Even me, I'm fine. Clement, I think you're being funny with this topic. The timing in this particular issue of Pravin Gordhan is absolutely irrelevant. It's got nothing to do with anything. Yes, maybe for the Chief Justice, when you're having a conversation with him privately, you can question why now. But what's important is the content of what he's alleging. That's what is important. Now we must debate whether was it right for Pravin to use his office, because we don't even have all the facts about this particular issue. Did Pravin set up the meeting so that he could go there pretending to talk about one thing just so that he could ask about a particular other issue that he wanted to deal with? Is it right for someone like that in that office to be asking questions for his friends whenever they go to interviews? Who knows what else he does? I think that's what is important in this particular issue. We've got a tendency, Clement, when someone is our favorite, we don't deal with the issue about what exactly he did wrong and whatever. We ask other questions. Who's telling us he did the thing? Why is he telling us now and so forth? I mean, I'll juxtapose it against other topics we've had in the past. Mm. When we talk about victims of rape, for instance, coming forward after 10 years or whatever, timing becomes irrelevant. I'm not trying to say they're the same issues.
Yeah, because it's not, but I hear you.
Timing is not always important.
Yeah, I hear you. And I don't think we should even make that juxtaposition, Brian, because these are totally two different things. But I hear you on the issue of timing. But again, I need to stress, and I don't know if maybe you caught my argument later on, but when I was phrasing this discussion, I made it very clear that I'm questioning what Pravin Gordhan has done. Was it ethical for him to do so? And I was even stressing how important it is. Yeah, I was even stressing how important it is for there to be an arm's length, you know, between the judiciary and the executive. So I made that very clear. So I just want to clear that up, that, I mean, I'm not trying to say, I'm not questioning the timing as in that's what we are focusing on. What Pravin Gordhan did is questionable, and I want us to explore it. But equally so, I want us to also explore the Chief Justice raising it now. I want us to, like, it's for me, it's so important that I hope he's written a letter to the President Cyril Ramaphosa to say, I had a meeting with Pravin Gordhan, and he asked me this question, and I'm comfortable with it. So that the president raises it with his ministers and say, we can't do this. There needs to be in independence and impartiality on the part of the judiciary. And you can't, even if you are friends with the judges, like, you cannot ask someone you know sits as the chairperson and sits in the interviews at the Judicial Services Commission and interviews justices, judges who go to the Supreme Court, and you ask them how your friend did. And I think that's what I'm trying to explore here. What are you observing on the part of Pravin Gordhan and how he behaved, and on the Chief Justice and how he's raising the issue now? 011-883-0702. Brian, thanks for your call in Alberton. Malitsatsi, you're calling from the Johannesburg CBD. Hi.
Yes. Clement, I just want to say, I think at the time when Pravin did not raise this issue, it had nothing to do anyway at that time. It was not having effect on anything. But right now, he is even very clear to say, when Mr. Malema spoke about their friendship, it's then that this thing came back to me. He was concentrating, listening to what Commissioner Malema was saying at that moment, and hence he remembered, oh, also Gordhan came to me and said, they are friends. You understand?
I hear you, Malit.
Yay.
Malitsatsi. Actually, I think you've got a fair point, eh? I think you've got a fair point, Malitsatsi, that it wasn't the Chief Justice that just started talking about Pravin and raising the issue of that meeting. It's Malema who was probing Daya Pillay and said, but your friendship with Pravin, and then that's when the Chief Justice said, actually, you reminded me. But here's the thing, Malitsatsi. The Chief Justice said, when he was explaining that meeting, he said, you know, one thing that stuck with me, that stayed with me, is and it got renewed by Malema engaging with Daya Pillay, is that question that Pravin Gordhan asked. And he went further to say that there is a potential compromising there to judicial independence and impartiality. For me, that's quite serious. And even if this is renewed by Julius Malema asking Daya Pillay about their friendship, I feel that if, as the Chief Justice, you had a meeting with someone and you felt the question they asked you potentially compromised judicial independence and impartiality, that's serious for you to even raise it at the time. And yes, you can remember it in the interview, but I think it's serious enough for you to address it with the head of the executive at the time.
And for the fact that it stuck with him.
Stuck with
you. I understand what you are saying. But my point is, he's a busy man, guys.
For busy.
Don't even forget. Thank you.
Thank you, Malitsatsi. Thanks for your call. I think you raise a valid point there, Malitsatsi, that it wasn't actually the Chief Justice. The Chief Justice just thought of, oh, by the way, I had a meeting with so-and-so. But my response to that then is, but then that meeting made you think hard about a possible compromise of the relationship between the executive and the judiciary. Wasn't that the case? And if really you felt this way then, shouldn't you have raised it with President Cyril Ramaphosa? And maybe he has, hey guys, maybe he has. And we just don't know about the letter or the meeting that he had with the president. Morokoto, you're calling from False Loras. Good morning.
Clement, how are you, man?
Kishab, how are you?
You know, Clement, you're the one that always don't like the whataboutism, ne? But today you are doing it. You're asking why now. Somebody's raising something, what Pravin did. Now, we, instead of dealing with it, you are saying why now. Let's put it simple. Pravin Gordhan did is unethical, extremely unethical. And if we took any other politician that people don't like Bongani Bongo, we wouldn't be asking, is this unethical? We'd be saying, it's unethical. What is this? It's unethical. If we're going to worry about timing, then we should ask Noma Gigaba, why now? Why are you going to Zondo Commission now? We shouldn't ask about now. We should look at the merit. And I think it's simple and clear that what Pravin did was wrong. And I don't think the president was Ramaphosa. I think it was Zuma. And if he raised it with President Zuma, he could have said the Chief Justice is trying to help Zuma to fire Pravin. So you will never win in South Africa because people are so inconsistent. Wrong things, before they are wrong, it depends who did them. Mm. And then we become the devil's advocate for certain people. And for certain people, we are clear. Mm. What Pravin did is there is unethical. If it was Bongani Bongo, if it was Melusi Gigaba, we wouldn't be asking this question.
Yeah.
We should be saying, fire that man. So that man, what he did is wrong. He will deny, just like Zuma denying that he didn't do anything in Amnesty. He will deny the typical politician. Even if certain people think he's a saint, he's a typical politician. He will lie. He was trying to find out for his friend. He tried to influence this thing for his friend. And what Mohamed did, whether we don't like him because he said something about the vaccine, what he did was right by raising it there in the interview because he was just saying, Master Malema, what he's asking is correct because it has happened before.
Okay.
I think that South Africans, we need to stop. Therefore, we'll never win against corruption. Because in terms of dealing with things, we try to look for other things and excuse certain people and condemn certain people.
Yeah, but Morokoto, look, without trying to repeat myself like I did with Mpo, I think it's also important that we listen to the argument. And I don't know if you got in the car and you only caught half of my argument, but when I started phrasing this, I made it clear what I think about Pravin Gordhan's behavior. Yes, I asked the question that what do you think as a listener? Do you think it was an error of judgment? Do you think it's unwise to even raise that in passing? But I made my view clear that this creates an impression of the executive interfering with the judiciary. I said it.
I didn't catch you. I catched you when you said that was asking about timing.
So what I'm saying is, Morokoto, is because I don't want to keep on trying to again explain, because often you've got listeners who call in and say, yeah, you are whataboutism, but you've not really listened to my argument. You've not really listened to my point. And then me raising it like now, addressing it with you, now we're wasting more time. So I think it's beneficial for, if you caught an argument later, call in and ask, Clement, What do you think if you didn't get my thoughts? And then I can give you my thoughts instead of making a blanket approach that, well, you are, this is whataboutism. You are asking why now, when I've actually dealt with the part of Pravin Gordhan.
Clement, sorry, but you are not being honest, Clement. Even if you did put your argument, you were hard on the why now. You might have put your case, but you were on Judge Mukhang, why now? You had another point, why now, Judge Mukhang? And I think the why now doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, you're saying it doesn't matter.
20 years from now, he said what he said. Because we can't console people why now. You must rush today, not tomorrow. If somebody comes out, it's the right time they come. Whistleblowers, they can come after 15 years, 5 years, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay. Morokotso, thank you so much for your call. I've made two arguments. I've made an argument about Pravin Gordhan, and I made an argument about the Chief Justice, and I want us to explore both. And I'm asking you what you think. I personally, and we can disagree, it's fine. I personally think, as the Chief Justice, when you have a meeting with someone, they ask you a question, and you feel that that has a potential to compromise the impartiality and the independence of the judiciary, I think it's important that you raise it with the president at the time, the head of the executive. That's my view. If you think it wasn't important for the Chief Justice, it's fine. If you think it's okay for him to raise it now, it's fine. And that's why I indicated earlier that the fact that he's raising it now doesn't diminish how important it is. And it doesn't mean we mustn't deal with it. We must deal with Pravin Gordhan's behavior. But I think we also need to ask hard questions about the potential compromise of the impartiality and the independence of the judiciary when this matter actually arose. And like I said, maybe the Chief Justice did raise it through other channels, but we simply don't know about it. Thabo, you're calling from the Vaal. What do you want to say?
Yeah, man, you know, Clement, I really want to comment about the issue of Pravin and the Chief Justice. My thinking is, Chief Justice in so many instances, he just talked for the sake of talking. Yes, he's a learned counselor, he's a lawyer. But if you can listen, most of the time he makes statements and they become a little bit controversial, like your Israel statement, like your vaccine statement, and this statement. I think it's one man that talk for the sake of talking sometimes, despite the fact that he's academically gifted, but he seems to be lacking the reasoning capacity. I really don't think there was a need for him to mention that. If he kept quiet about that issue for so long, why would he mention that now? With our political climate that we are having in South Africa. So for me, it doesn't make sense.
But Thibo, so the political climate must prevent him from raising... It's a critical point, though, is it not?
But then if it's a critical point, he could have raised it long time ago. And two, climate, if you take a closer look, again, I really understand. Somebody could have just, even Pravin himself said, I did at some point speak with Chief Justice about this issue whatsoever. But or somebody could have hurt him, and then it becomes a controversial issue. But I'm saying, if really, 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 it's something that really mattered, he could have just said it long time ago. So for him just to make statements, especially on interviews, man, it seems this interview, he really struggled to deal with journalists or whoever that is interviewing.
It wasn't an interview, Thabo. It was the interviews for the... for the positions in the Constitutional Court, and Julius Malema was raising the issue of Daya Pillay's friendship with Pravin Gordhan, and that's when the Chief Justice came in to say, actually, here's a matter that also concerns me. I don't know if you can say that, well, because he didn't raise it at the time, he shouldn't have raised it now. It's a critical point, and I think it was important to establish the extent of the relationship between Pravin Gordhan, who's a member of the executive, and Daya Pillay, who's a sitting judge, who was actually acting in the Constitutional Court. But Thibos, thank you for your call. I don't agree with that. Let's hear what other listeners think on 011-883-0702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
It's 7 minutes before 10 o'clock. I want to play some of the voice notes before I go back to the lines on 011-883-0702.
Good morning, Clement. This is Tege here in Soshanguve. Now this thing here, Mokweng le Pravin Gordhan, man. Mokweng, man, for 5 years. This man and for 5 years. Imagine, man. Don't you think this guy is playing politics, man? Mokweng is not a man of honor, man. Come on.
Good morning, Clement. Great show as always. Yeah, that guy's boo must just relax. He must just relax. He failed to answer one simple question. How did Zuma's rights were violated? He just mumbled and said nothing, basically. So he must just keep quiet. If he doesn't have anything to say, then just listen to the radio. I mean, if he's here to defend Zuma, the indefensible things that Zuma is doing, Zuma, in fact, must just go to jail. There's no need for him to go to a state capture commission, because he knows that the things that state capture commission has prepared for him to answer, and then he's got no choice, and then he's going to be embarrassed.
Yeah, and he says he's ready. He says he's ready for jail, right? Stephen, you're calling from Soweto. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Stephen. Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Morning, Clement. Hey, man. Human A. You know, to air is human, Clement. Remember, myself right now, you said when you went to the news before this, you actually said something. You understand?
Yeah.
So, Mohen Mohen, really, in all fairness, he didn't cross the line. Mohen Mohen, real as a person, had to, you know. And remember, Mohen Mohen said he actually met the then finance minister, you know, in his capacity as a finance minister. But later on, he made an effort to ask him what was already in the public domain about how did the judge fare. That was actually for the position of the FCA, isn't it? Yeah, right. So really, the only thing now is an ethical for actually the minister having gone to the Chief Justice and actually find out about how did that happen.
Yeah.
But again, I think maybe that will happen in the future, much as you know, raising it now that the CJ should have actually raised that, you know, referred that matter or to the president of the country.
Yeah, then Jacob Zuma, and I kept on saying Cyril Ramaphosa, but yeah, some of you corrected me because it's 5 years ago. Then Jacob Zuma, right? But yeah, I still don't think that him raising it now then should be diminished because he didn't raise it then, if really he didn't raise it then. MJ, you calling from Pretoria. What's your view?
Hi, Clement, how are you?
Keshab, how are you?
All right, man. Look, I think what Pravin did was unethical, especially having to arrange a meeting with the CJ under the guise of going to talk about the tax ombudsman and raise that issue. But honestly speaking, and as a former HR manager myself, that was not an issue that the Chief Justice should have raised at that time or reported to the president. Because if he was just asking, how did my friend, if Pravin went there and said, look, she's a good woman, you know, started recommending the candidate and said, please look for, you understand, and so I'm saying, then that would have been an issue. But he went there under the guise of going to ask about, to discuss a certain matter, and then he asked that in passing. And what the CJ actually did wrong was to raise this matter in this, during this session. But If I remember what he said, now that Honorable Malema
has raised the issue
about your friendship, it reminds me of that issue. But in all fairness, Clement, people do it even in corporate. You get, as I was, like I told you, as a former HR manager, sometimes you get calls from some of the top guys, the executives, MEs. How did my candidate do and so forth? You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is unethical, Clement. It's something that it's not like they're saying, hey, please look for my candidate and so forth. Once they do that, then definitely you would.
Yeah, but sometimes, MJ, you don't necessarily have to say, hey, give my candidate a job. You know, sometimes it's not as direct as that. It's a matter of how did they do? Like, I'm trying to show you that there is a relationship between me and that candidate. And the expectation then is maybe you can do favors for me. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes you don't really have to say, give my candidate a job. As a member of the executive, or as someone who's calling an executive, and you're calling maybe someone from HR, you say, hey, how did he do? That's enough for someone from HR to establish that there's a relationship there. And Pravin said, how did my friend do? Right? Friend, already there's a relationship there. Whether it was meant to influence or not is what we've been debating. Thank you for calling in with your contribution, MJ.